Galatians and the book of Genesis. Galatians and Genesis. The report I've heard is that they're doing great over there, I think.
Or through Ashley. You know, I've been at this quite a while, and sometimes, you know, what do they say? No news is good news. Amen. That means there's no alarms going off, there's no problems, and also it's a sign of trust. I sense that there's a great deal of trust on Brother Hoffman's part that y'all are going to do right for the sake of the Lord. Amen. You know, if motive matters, and we know it does, then if it matters to anyone, it matters to the Lord. He measures everything by motive. He measures it so much by motive that he'll take somebody who just really gets themselves turned around and twisted around, like, let's say, King David, and he'll say at the end of his life that he was a man after his own heart. Only the Lord can figure that out, huh? Isn't it amazing how different we are than him? But we're supposed to just let him grow us and lead us and work on us till we're more like him. And this morning I want to look at something in your Bible that deals with you as a believer. If you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the things about coming to Christ is that it doesn't just seal and stamp your ticket for eternity. Now, my phrase is this: salvation is just the beginning. And the good thing about that is let's say you got saved when you were 5 or 6 or 8 or 10. Or like my dad did when you're 48. Let's say you get saved and you live another 30, 40, 50 years. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to come to Christ and be a Christian and be saved and know you're going to heaven and you read the Bible and you start believing the Bible and you start believing what the Bible says, what we ought to do, etc. But he left you on your own till you got to heaven. Man, that'd be a frustrating thing to me. You know it? You get in that Bible, and what happens is he gives us some truths that help us understand not just what happened when he saved you, when he sealed you for eternity, but what he wants to do in your life right now, every minute of every day, till you see him face to face. What he does, he gives us an interim there, a time frame, you might say, a probation, to be able, with our free will, to glorify him. What you do by free choice says everything about you. One man said, what you do with your own time shows what you really are. You know what I mean? When the disciples were persecuted and they released them, it says they went to their own company. In other words, what you do when it's up to you has everything to do with what you become. You know, you get off work and you go home, and what you do is really who you are as far as what you're going to become someday. But when you get saved, something happens. Galatians chapter 4, and let's pick it up in verse 22. Now, last time I was here, I don't know if I can remember that far ago, I slept since then. How about you? When I sleep, it's just like I hit the reset button. So I write everything down, because I ain't going to remember it. I don't want to. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Last time I was here, we were talking about being grafted in. We talked about old nature, new nature. And if you're not saved here today, let me say something to you. One of the things that will happen to you if you'll get saved is God will take and make you not only a different person for eternity, but he's going to start working in your heart. If you're a Christian here today and you're saved, you know in your heart there's a conflict when you don't follow that new nature. You may hide it as fellows. We hide stuff all the time as far as putting on our game face and our poker face and all that. You know, like the guy said, he taught his dog to play poker and he was really good. He just had one fault. Every time he got a good hand, his tail wagged. So gave the whole thing away. And you and I as believers, if you're saved, you know what'll happen to you? You'll give it away without even realizing it sometimes. I don't know if any of you here ever got away from the Lord, but I've known guys that got away from the Lord, and even if they're sitting there drinking, the next thing you know, they start witnessing. We were passing out tracks one time in this place outside of a pub over there, and this guy took his track and he went in the pub. And a few minutes later, it come flying out the window. And one of my guys bent down to pick it up, and the guy came out and he said, "Give me that. Give it to me." And he charged right back there in with it again. And it came out the window again. I was waiting for him to come out the window any minute, you know. He came out and got one more time, and the next thing I saw him, he's in there on a bar stool preaching to those guys out of that track. I ran into him 2 or 3 months later, and he wasn't in the same condition. He was sober enough to talk to. And he said, "You know something?" He said, "I'm saved. I'm a Christian." He said, "I got bad attitude towards church and folks and all that." And he said, "I got away from God." And he said, "When I got away from God," he said, "that night that guy handed me that track," he said, "it was just like flashbacks all over again." And he said, "Even in the condition I was in," he said, "I wanted to let those guys know where I was at." And he said, "I've just turned everything around now." You never know. But boy, I thought it was going to be on for young and old when I saw that track come out that window. Two sons. One by a bondwoman, one by a free woman. Verse 23, "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar." New Testament pronunciation of Hagar. "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is in his bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, mark it, which is the mother of us all," speaking to believers. Okay? "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." So let's just stop there a minute. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He changed you from a child of bondage to a child of promise. It's promise in that you're not there yet. One of these days they're going to put you to bed with a shovel, and then that body's going down in the ground, or you're going to, whatever happens to it, or if you're one of these crazy guys that likes to go out and swim with the sharks, they probably may not find your body, but you won't be there anymore. And what's going to happen is you're going to be a child of promise. You're going out of here. You're going to heaven. You're going to be with God. To be absent from the Lord is present. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. So in the meantime, you're living by promise. You're not there yet. It's a promise. So when you come to Christ and get saved, God says, "I've changed you into a child of promise, not a child of hell." Now I'm going to say this to you. It don't matter what a smart aleck you think you are. It don't matter how clever you are. Doesn't matter how smart you are. When you stand before God, you ain't going to have one word to say to Him, buddy. Not one word. You can mouth off to me. You can mouth off to your parents. You can mouth off to the boss. You can mouth off. You can get on talk radio and mouth off like some of these guys do and get paid to. But you die without Jesus Christ, you're going straight to hell. You say, "That's not fair." Of course it's fair. He sent His Son to hell for you already. Okay? So you become a child of promise. So notice what he says about it then. Verse 29. "But as then he that was born after the flesh," who would that be in this case? Ishmael. If you're making a note, write down in your mind Ishmael. We got two characters going here. We got Ishmael and we got Isaac. And Paul sets these two guys across from each other like the old you, the lost you, and the saved you. And it's so much so that in verse 29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh," mark this, "persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Verse 1 of chapter 5. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Come over to Galatians for a minute. I'm going to take these two characters. Simple characters. Here's what he said. He said, "You've got Ishmael here." Who's Ishmael? You got Abraham and Sarah. They're going along through life. God said, "I'll give you a son." They're traveling around, obeying God. Nothing happens. They're getting older and older and older and older. That's what happens, by the way. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not like you ladies get impatient. I know. Understand. But Sarah, I did. Ladies, you just need to nod and laugh there because that was true. You do get impatient. Okay? And she got impatient. So she gets in Abraham's ear and starts saying, "You know, Abraham, we need to do something about this. Time's running out. You're not getting any younger. That's not going to happen. Da-da-da-da. We got to have an heir. Got to have it." So he caves in. And he says, "Okay." So he takes and she gives her handmaid to him to bear a son. Now, if you'll study your Bible, this thing didn't offend God as far as how he's doing it. What offended God was they were trying to make something out of an earthly thing. She was an Egyptian. Egypt's a type of the world. Okay? There's nothing in this world that God cares. He cares so little about it. One day he's going to burn it. You don't burn things you have any desire to care about at all. But when you really want to make a statement, what do? You burn something. I mean, that is the ultimate way to settle the score. Amen. And so he says to him, Abraham, what are you doing? So he bears his boy. He's got a son called Ishmael after this Egyptian. Is he a child of the world, a bond child? You know what you and I are? When we're born, we're in bondage to the world. Period. Let's say you go get an education, you become a doctor. Or let's say you get an education and you get your head twisted, you become a lawyer. I'm just kidding, you know what I mean? Haven't you heard about the guy that's out there and he's pumping out the septic tank and the lady of the house feels really bad, so she thought she'd go out and, you know, help him, encourage him since he has such a horrible job, and so he's just pumping it out. She starts making conversation. How long have you been doing this? Oh, 20 years. You know, and he turns to her and he says, what's your husband do? She says, oh, he's a lawyer. He goes, somebody's got to do it. They preferred pumping out that septic tank to being a lawyer. Amen. But the point of it is this. Ishmael's born. 13 years, he doesn't hear from God, Abraham. You ever wonder why 13 is such a pain in the neck, parents? It's a number of rebellion in your Bible. And so Ishmael gets to be 13. You know what I mean? And then God says, Abraham, guess what? I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you so many offspring, going to be like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. And then he says, I'm going to do it by Sarah. And Abraham's on his face. He's down on his face. And he thinks God can't hear him, which is real smart, right? And he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know what he's saying? Man, I ain't got enough faith to believe this Isaac stuff. And he's chuckling to himself. Yeah, right. So God says, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to name your boy Laughter. Got anything else to say, Abe? He's like, no, sir. I ain't got nothing else to say or think. So Isaac is born. When Isaac is born, who is Isaac now? He's the seed of promise. The Bible says that Sarah's body was dead. So Isaac is literally a miracle child. Okay? Kind of like when a lady named Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and she bare a child having never, ever known a man. You get the type? So here's what you have. You've got an Ishmael and you've got an Isaac. Well, that's fair enough. But our text in Galatians 4 said that Ishmael did what to Isaac? Mark it in your text. Persecuted. Persecuted. Ishmael is you without Jesus Christ. Ishmael's your old nature. Ishmael's you're born into the world and just as natural as you are. And so when that child of promise came along, Isaac, Ishmael and his mama, the Egyptian, it says they mocked him. They mocked little Isaac. They're celebrating. They're happy. Here's this old couple with this baby of promise. I mean, they're thrilled to death and they're over there mocking him. Now, there's something significant about that because in Galatians 4, he's talking about your old and your new nature. Here's what you have inside of you if you're saved. If you're lost, this is going to go right over your head probably. I wish it would. I wish you'd get an idea that without Jesus Christ, you know, you got no hope. But also, you're not going to have the life God wants you to have. But here's what you have if you're saved. You have Ishmael, and you have Isaac inside of you. Okay? Now start thinking about that a minute. You have an old nature, Romans 8. You have a new nature. Your old nature persecutes your new nature. Yeah. You carry with you one of the greatest persecutors on earth. Ishmael. Your Bible says so in Galatians 4. It says he persecuted. Mark it. Verse 29. Persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Ready? Even so it is when? It is now. I want to look at Ishmael for a little bit here. And I'm going to do a little bit other thing later on this afternoon, but I want you to think about victory in Jesus over the persecutor. Because if I took you and I dropped you out on a desert island somewhere, a deserted island, an island in the middle of the desert, that's now,
deserted island. Yeah, huh? You try doing this. All right, but anyway. So I put, you're on that, you know you've got somebody with you that's going to be a problem to you the rest of your life? You. I wake up with my problem, I try to run away from me, he's right there when I get there. He's right there. I'm like a little boy trying to see back his head in the mirror, you know? Every time I turn around, all I saw was himself. And that's how we are. We've got Ishmael in us, we got Isaac in us. People act like Christians, you know. Well, you know, you say you're a Christian, you ought to be this and that. Well, we want to be. But I got somebody inside of me that's dead set on persecuting my new nature, the real me. If you've still got a marker in Galatians 4, look at Galatians 2 and get this. There's so much we can say about it, but the idea is to persecute something is to harass it, to afflict it, to be contrary to it, to try to discourage it. So persecution is a believer's experience in both testaments, from cover to cover. In fact, there's a fellow named Paul, and he says in Galatians 1, when he was Saul of Tarsus, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." What did he do? He persecuted people. When he was Saul of Tarsus, if he came up to you and you were Bible-believing, born-again Christian, he would torture you. He would do anything to get you to deny Jesus Christ. You fellas out on the job, you ever had somebody like that? I've had them where they just hound you and hound you. One guy hounded a new Christian so much, I took him aside and I said, "Let me tell you something. There in the Bible, there was David and Goliath, and David killed Goliath." He goes, "Yes, so what?" I said, "After he killed him, he cut his head off." I said, "You keep it up." And I said, "I'm going to go in the Old Testament for a while." I said, "You leave the kid alone and pick on me." He goes, "I can't pick on you. I can't budge you." I said, "Leave the kid alone. Leave him alone." And you see, what happens is this, is we have Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted those believers. That's what he did. That's who he was before he came to Christ. Look at Galatians 2 verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ." To be crucified is to die. "They came along, they broke those prisoners' legs because they had to ensure they were dead." Their job was to make sure they were legally dead. That was their profession. That was their assignment, was to make sure people were dead. When you are crucified, you're dead. "So I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Okay. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I have an Ishmael. God declared him dead. He's still hanging around. He wants to persecute. But God took away his authority. Didn't take away his presence yet. He took away his authority. But being the flesh that he is, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither he can be. He will not shut up, even though he's told to. Like we are when we're little boys, some of us. Amen. Or grown-up guys, too. Okay, but anyway. Isaac loves God. Isaac is you. Your new nature cannot sin. You read 1 John. "That which is born of God sinneth not." Your new nature cannot sin. It can't. So your new nature doesn't worry about persecuting Ishmael, but Ishmael will persecute your new nature day in and day out. So let's look at Ishmael's life a little bit and see if we can recognize a few things. Now listen. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He said in Romans 8, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So in this book of Genesis, we'll look at a few thoughts about old Ishmael. See, here's the deal. If you can recognize when Ishmael is at work, it can help you a lot. I heard a fellow get up, and he did this to a whole bunch of Christian college students. I was there when he did it, and it was all I could do not to take him outside and have a discussion with him afterwards. He went through a whole sermon. Here's what he said. Here's his illustration. Y'all get this. He said, when I was in Bible college, he said, I had a bus route and I was preaching everything. He said, but sometimes when I was at work, they'd play this music and stuff and I'd have all these bad thoughts. And he said, then I came to realize nobody knew the real me. And he went on and on and on about how when you have those thoughts, that's the real you. If he was saved,
He's an idiot. Stone cold, certified, bona fide idiot. Because the source of those thoughts was Ishmael. The source of all that stuff is Ishmael. He's born of the bondwoman. He cannot obey the law of God. He's not subject to the law of God, neither, and he can be. There's not a hope on earth of Ishmael inheriting anything right. But here you got Isaac. Isaac is pure. Isaac is innocent. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is the real you, Galatians 2, verse 20. You see, what I'm telling you is not some new thing. All the old timers, I can't come up with anything new. I can't even come up with anything old without reading. Think about it. This is what they taught for years and years because Paul taught it in Galatians here. So come over to Genesis for a minute and understand. When you get born again, it creates this thing. You know, David said over there in Psalm 51, you know, that he was conceived in sin. And I'll bet before he clarified, I bet his mother wasn't real happy about him writing that. Because he wasn't talking about her relationship. He's talking about the fact that you're born a sinner. Think about this about Isaac. Isaac is purebred. Ishmael is of bondage. So Ishmael, that old nature, mocks that clean new nature. Isaac, get this. Here's Isaac. Isaac grow up. He's what? He's a shepherd. Guess what Ishmael is? He's an archer. He's a hunter. He's a killer. Picturing this? Two whole different personalities. Tell you what you do sometime, read your Bible and read what he says the flesh is like, Galatians 5, and then read what he says the spirit is like, and he's given us a picture here. Because what happens is we need to get victory in Jesus Christ over that persecutor because he is not, listen, Isaac is submitted. He's so submitted that his dad, as a grown man, can take him up on the mountain and tie him up and offer him. Are you ready for this? I'm not suggesting this. I'm not teaching what I'm about to say. Don't even bother bailing me up about it. Front me up about it later. Isaac accepts a wife that his dad sent the servant to go get. Go figure that one out. That's how submitted Isaac is. Do you get the picture? You say he's a sissy. No, he's not. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes. Isaac is that new nature that obeys the Heavenly Father. So here you have Isaac on one side, and you've got Ishmael, who the Bible says is a wild man. Every man's hand will be against him, and him against every man. Contrary. Now maybe you don't ever wake up contrary, or go through the day contrary, but some of us, it's a battle. You ever have one of those days where everything's contrary? And you just think, what is wrong with this world? Why can't they get in step? Amen. Isaac never ever got to settle into this world. He had to traverse the whole time. I beseech therefore as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know why? Because this world is what? Not your home. You know where your Ishmael will be when you die? He's going to stay right here. You know where you're going? To heaven. There's not a thing you and I can do to change it. So what we have inside of us at work all the time is an Ishmael and an Isaac. Now, first of all, Ishmael tried to claim the right as the firstborn. Here's what happens when you try to live for God. You start getting a hold of the idea of living right, doing right, believing right, cleaning up. Submit and obey. Listen, one of the hardest things to do is submit. It is so hard to submit. I know. Come on, y'all look at me like that's not true. Listen, driving up here yesterday, I saw a whole lot of people weren't submitted. And the only time they looked like they were going to submit was when they mistook the car coming this way for a government car. Okay? And you know it just encourages you a little bit, doesn't it? When you realize, here they come. Right? Or they come flying up behind you. When I was moving 2 weeks ago from Huntsville, Texas to Kentucky, when I got across the Kentucky line, and the guy I'm working with, the pastor, three of his nephews are state police. And he told me, he said, man, he said, they told him they don't stop. If you're not doing 80 or more, they ain't going to stop you. So, of course, now he drives 79 no matter where he goes, even through the middle of town. You know. But anyway, The whole idea is I'm driving along there and kind of minding my own business. I'm probably daydreaming. And the next thing I know, this gray rocket fires by me. It's a state trooper. I mean, about blew me off the road. You see, sometimes we might give in because there's things, or there's money involved, or there's work involved, or there's pain involved. But as a whole, our old nature is not submitted to God. And it can't be. So you get saved, and God puts something in you, in Isaac. And now Isaac wants to obey God. Then Isaac wants to please God. But Ishmael is always over here saying, hold it, cut. I was here first. Because your old nature was here first. Right? Don't even try this submission stuff. Don't even try this getting into church stuff. Don't even try this listening and obeying and submitting and giving this and doing that. Don't even try it. I was here first. I have the rights. I'm the firstborn. But God said Ishmael didn't get anything. He doesn't have a right. You know what the flesh cries out all the time? Somebody gets up and preaches on deny yourself. Right? You know what Ishmael says? No way! I was here first. I'm in charge here. You ever wonder how sometimes certain things are so hard to die? It's because you can't take Ishmael and make him obey. I mean, do you ever try to hold a squirming kid down? It's like he's an octopus or something. He's got all these arms and legs just everywhere. You ever see somebody in the store and they're trying to get the kid under control without being sent to the child services thing, you know? And the dude is everywhere. That's Ishmael. The Ishmael in you can squirm and maneuver. And have you not talked to somebody? Have you not had a conversation with yourself and said, look, here's what's right. Here's what I need to do. And Ishmael walks up and he just starts with all these reasons why. You're like, man, what is going on here? What is happening here? It's Ishmael. He claims the right as the firstborn. You can't deny yourself. I am you. No, you're not anymore. You're not. Secondly, he claims the right as the family tree. And then, you know, in the Bible, families are important. But the first time I read the Gospels all the way through, I got one thing. That Jesus Christ is more important than earthly family. That's hard, ain't it? Now, for some people, you know, with dysfunctional, with a capital D, it's not so hard. It's like, phew, I sure am glad that's in the Bible. Right? But then, that whole thing about Ishmael is family. You know, there's people that should be on a mission field right now. They should be on a mission field right now. And the only reason they're not is Ishmael. That's a pretty serious thing if you think about this. You say, oh, you're going to say people will die and go to hell if they don't go. No. No. You're going to lose your reward if you don't go. God will find somebody else to win them. He'll take care of you. You lose out. Because here's what Ishmael appeals to all the time. Earthly. Family tree. Who would have thought you could make so much money helping people build their family tree? But it's a big business today. I'm going to throw this in there real quick, and I don't know where any of you are from. But I'm going to tell you who started that thing and made it an industry. They're out of Utah. Also, you're welcome. Do you know that I've seen saved parents, where the son and daughter came to them, and they were living out Isaac, and they said, look, God, I don't want to do this, but God told me to go to a mission field somewhere, or God told me to go do this. And they've submitted like Isaac did. And they go to saved parents. And the saved parents sit there and they act all pious, but they listen to Ishmael. And they start in about how the children might get malaria and da-da-da, and I won't see my grandchildren. Then you go ahead and submit, you go to the mission field with them. How about that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You could watch them while and you get malaria with them and y'all just suffer together. You know what happens sometimes? The Ishmael in you will agree with the Ishmael in somebody else and y'all think you know what's going on. You know what Ishmael wants to do? He wants to keep Isaac from inheriting. Ishmael wants to keep Isaac from getting the respect of the father.
Now, get this about these boys. Remember we read in Galatians 4, New Jerusalem, which is the what of us all? Somebody. Mother of us all. Here's two boys. Ishmael's mother is who? Hagar. Isaac's mother is who? Sarah. Princess. Same dad, two mothers. Think that through a minute. You know what happens to us? When God saves you, He gives you a new birth, doesn't He? You're a new creature. You're not a new creation like the modern versions say because you haven't got your body yet, but you are a new creature. You are totally different than you were before you got saved. So here you are. Your earthly birth ain't no good. You know how you know that? One question. Will you die? Yes. But who's the mother of us all if we're saved? It says. What does the Bible say? New Jerusalem. She's the mother of us all. You see, the difference is this. I'm an offspring of Adam. God made Adam. But if I don't get the right mama, if I don't get that mother of promise, I perish. I don't inherit. Get nothing. If I let God save me by His word, let His word come in, receive with meekness and graft the word that's able to save you. If I do that, now I've got a whole different life. I got Isaac. And so what happens is I get to live a life that's not possible without that. Now, you take an Ishmael. Ishmael and a teenager says this. Parent says, here's how we're going to live. Here's how we're going to dress. Here's how we're going to act. And the Ishmael and the teenager says, you just don't care if I'm embarrassed. You're welcome, teenager. That's true. That's the card they're pulling, isn't it? You just don't care. The Isaac, when they get saved, says, I understand that. It's an act of submission. Listen, there's a lot of things. You think that maybe all of us go around as Christians, we only do what we do because we want to? My Ishmael doesn't want to do any of this. My Ishmael doesn't want to be here this morning. There's not a religious thing about my Ishmael. I was almost born outdoors, but I know I was reared outdoors. Ishmael does not like confined spaces. Ishmael doesn't like being told what to do. Ishmael doesn't like you cutting in line in front of me. Ishmael doesn't like you mouthing off at me. And Ishmael, some people flee and some people fight, and my Ishmael fights. So you better flee. But the idea is this, okay? Here's the idea. The idea is a Christian. We have this conflict within us, and Ishmael is going to try to bluff his way through in your life. What about Ishmael? Listen to this. He claims the right of freedom. Ishmael and his half-brothers. By the way, I don't know, maybe you've read your Bible and you remember. Sarah dies. Isaac gets a wife. Abraham takes a wife and has some more half-brothers. None of them inherit. None of them inherit. Only one inherits. Isaac does. He sends them off, gives them a blessing, says, do whatever you want. Ishmael is a wild man. Ishmael's whole claim to fame is freedom. Does that not sound familiar to you? You know, don't tread on me. Don't fence me in. Give me miles. Don't fence me in. Come on. Have you ever noticed that we're getting more and more impatient as a generation of people, as a nation of people? Freedom, freedom, freedom. Now, use what freedoms you have for God. But do you know what the mark of a believer is? Surrender. The mark of a believer is servitude to Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so unique. I'm not offended that these guys who want to go around and worship Allah and all this stuff, I'm not offended that they're going out and blowing things up. At least they have the, whatever you want to call it, to follow something with all their heart. Amen. Do you realize what's happening right now to the gospel amongst Bible-believing people? Less and less and less gospel is going out. But it's really only one problem. Just one. There's a whole lot more Ishmael being obeyed than Isaac. Because the Isaac in you, I promise you,
You yield to the Isaac in you, and he will tell you and help you and guide you to obey God, and you will love it. But Ishmael cannot love it. He cannot love it. Ishmael's a what? Isaac's a shepherd. Ishmael's a what?
Archer.
You know what he shoots? Fire darts. Fire darts. Fire darts. You ever have trouble at home? Husbands and wives? Probably not. I know. Never a crossword. I understand. And some people do that. But you know when someone says something to you that hurts and burns, they're Ishmael's letting go a fiery dart right into your heart. There was wounds that go down in the innermost part of the belly. They go in a place that no sword could ever reach. You know what you got to do sometimes? You got to say, Lord, I forgive them. And Ishmael is always going to be Ishmael. And when you do it, go, man. Do you ever wonder why Paul said in Romans 6, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me? Because Ishmael's not you anymore. He's just tagging along until we get rid of him. Okay, so think about this. The rebel can't follow. The persecutor craves liberty and freedom. And then he claims the right of force. He claims the right of being a fighter. He's an archer. So what does he do? He goes around and he's firing off all this stuff and he's fighting with us and he's hindering us. He claims the right of being the fruit bearer. Do you know in ministry today we have a lot of Ishmael stuff going on today? A lot of it. Hello, guys. It's their Ishmael preaching. If we took everybody in here today, however many we are, say 100 people, whatever. You got 100 people. What is it that any 100 people on the face of the earth all have in common? Ishmael. I could take 100 people from any population. Take 100 people from 100 different nations. Put them in this room, and they all have one thing in common. An old nature. A fallen nature. An Ishmael that is wild, wants his freedom, fires darts. He'll fight his way. He'll do whatever it takes. Everybody has one. Now, let's say I take that group of people and 25 of them are saved. Guess what all 100 still have? Ishmael. Now, let's just say I decided I'm going to try to get something done. And I've determined I'm going to build attendance and I'm going to do this and that. I've got to find a way to actually appeal to 100 what natures? Ishmael natures. But I've got to use some words that kind of blend in with Isaac's way of thinking. But have you not noticed today that most ministry appeals to the Ishmael? It's productivity driven. It's purpose driven. All this stuff. See, it's not that we just go around being against everything. I don't like being against everything. But I know this. If I'm appealing to your Ishmael nature, your Isaac isn't going to have any fruit. He's not going to have any liberty. So you know what happened if we had 100 of us here and 25 had an Isaac and Ishmael nature and 75 had an Ishmael nature? You know what happens if you get up and preach to Isaac? You immediately lose the 75 Ishmaelites. Because they can't get it. They're like, what are you talking about? What do you mean humility? What do you mean submission? What do you mean holiness? What do you mean saying no to myself? Hey, Ishmael's not going to do that, is he? So what we have is we have this conflict going on. Now, the victory in Jesus over this persecutor then has everything to do with something. In Galatians 5 there, he said, therefore, look at that verse and we'll try to draw this together a little bit. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now I can testify this to you. I grew up in the anti-establishmentarianism age. Try spelling that quickly. Put that in your spell checker. You know what that was? Here's what it was. Watch. I come out and all of a sudden everything's anti-establishment. So they all had to do what? They had to dress different. So they had to have holes in their jeans, you know, and we had to let our hair grow down and all this sort of stuff. Well, the problem was, if you were against the establishment but you didn't dress like them, they wouldn't accept you. I can remember complaining as day, hanging out with some of those guys, and I said one day, I said, you know, y'all become the establishment. I wasn't saved or nothing. I just knew what was going on. Because if you didn't do what they were doing to show they were against the establishment, then you weren't one of them. I said, you're the new establishment. I said, I rebel. You know, so I became one of those long-haired, bearded rednecks. I fixed their wagon good. Amen? I said, bring it on, boys. But the point of it is this, is Ishmael cannot ever get himself in a frame of mind to really please God. And so what happens is you got this constant conflict. Look, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now watch.
Watch this. You tell Ishmael, submit. Tell Ishmael, look, give up all this junk. Give up all these rights. Follow me. And Ishmael says, that's bondage. That's legalism. That's who's saying it, is Ishmael. Isaac says, well, Father, if this is what's best, and this is what pleases you, and if you're saved, you have Isaac in you. Isaac says, well, yeah, I'm going to do that. Isaac says, we're going up the mountain. Where's the offering, Dad? Don't worry about it. Okay. Isaac says, I couldn't live like that. What are you, just some stupid little falling around like an idiot? I ain't going to do it just because they said do it. I'm going to do it if I want to do it. Sound familiar? You ever had one of those conversations with yourself? I've had a couple. Isaac says, what are you about, Ishmael? Look what God's done for me. It's that simple, but Ishmael will persecute Isaac. The Ishmael in others will persecute the Isaac in you. The Ishmael in you will persecute the Isaac in others. And the Ishmael in you will persecute the Isaac in you. And he'll fight you. Now, we got to get victory somehow. So what do? The first thing we do is the Bible tells us, reckon ourselves dead indeed under sin. Then we go and we read our new birthright. You know what God says we're able to do? God says we are able to be free. We're able to have liberty. But the freedom and liberty is to do right. I'm as free as I've ever been. And yet my life is narrow. But it's narrow because Isaac and I are in agreement. Think about that. Do you know how many areas of life you want that person to be narrow in their discipline? You want somebody handling a firearm to be very narrow in their discipline. Yes, you do. Amen. You want a surgeon to be narrow in his discipline. Amen. Listen, I was getting my hair cut one day at this place, and this fella, like from India, Indian, came and he sat down beside me, and his phone went off, and he answered, and he goes, oh, no, 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 that will kill her. And every head just went. He says, excuse me, and out he went. And he's outside, and I have to admit, I couldn't help. I slid all the way down the bench where I could hear him. And he's talking, he goes, no, 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 and he's spelling it out for him. He had written this medicine for this lady, and they were about to give it to her, and they called her, they couldn't read part of his handwriting, a tradition, I guess, amongst doctors, and they would have killed the lady. Yeah. You see, there are things that are just not good for you as a Christian. And God's not trying to hold you back and hurt you. He's trying to let the Isaac in you grow. Discipline. I want discipline in my surgeon. I've had a couple knee surgeries. On the second one, the guy came in and he was really, really good. He'd already done 3 or 4 or 5, whatever, that day. And they roll me in and they're putting that deal in you. And you're just, you know, they're trying to tell you count back from 100. And I can't do that when I'm sober. So I'm like, and I see him and I go, hey, doc. And he pulls the thing up and he goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And my eyes got real big and he just started laughing. That's the last thing I remembered, you know. Like, I'm going to cut on whichever one I end up on. I'm like, oh, doc. Horrible sense of humor, amen. Don't you want discipline in those things? So why wouldn't you and I, if we're going to live out the life of Jesus Christ in us, why wouldn't it take discipline? I love reading the lives of some of these. And they've only recently been published, and I realize, and they're making some money off, and they deserve it, these Navy SEAL guys. Most of them you'll never know they were. Many of them you'll meet them, you'll never know it. Many of the guys that do that for a living, they don't do it for the money.
I got to meet one of them, Marcus Luttrell, who was the only survivor of Operation Red Wing. Got to meet him and get his signature. He's a big old boy, about 6'2". He has a twin brother, Morgan. Marcus was over there. It broke his back, crushed his spine, everything. He spent all this time rehab so he could do what? Go back again. Those boys got something, man. And I want to be every bit of that for Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with preaching. It's got nothing to do with teaching. If that's part of it, fine. And I don't care if you know. I don't care if the person next to me knows. Because my Savior knows. And the Christian life does take discipline. But he did something wonderful when he saved you. He gave you a new nature. And you, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, you know what Ishmael does? He does everything he can to hinder me. And yours will do to hinder you. If we begin to get victory over our own Ishmael, it helps us a lot with other people's Ishmaels. Amen. What do we do finally? We renew. We reckon dead, read your birthright, renew your walk continually. They train. They train. They train. They train. My buddy in Portales, New Mexico, is going through a horrible time right now. Sent me a calendar, the 2013 SEAL calendar the other day. You say, why do you admire? Because they train, and they train, and they train, and they want to do one thing. And I'm going to say to you today, maybe there's a spark inside you that says, I want to be the best Christian for Jesus Christ I can possibly be. And I don't care if other people know it. Now they might. Okay? Because God wants something. You're part of a body. God wants the hand to rely on the feet, rely on the eyes, rely on, God wants it all to work together. But what if today, whatever's in your heart says, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. And my motive, listen, ready? Listen, we're almost done. You know what Ishmael hates? Ishmael hates marching in line with everybody else. Ishmael hates it when you go in, they shave your head, and they give you all the same nameless uniform. Ishmael hates that. Haven't you walked around here and said, everybody wants to be unique? Well, everybody's being the same by being unique.
Yeah.
Y'all think about that one a lot. But that's the truth. Isaac says, I don't mind being like others. I don't mind falling in line. I don't lose my individuality. Because I'm an individual, saved, born-again Christian. Amen? I didn't lose anything when I got saved. But trouble and hell. And God only knows if I'd even be alive today if I hadn't come to Jesus Christ. I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose anything by saying, Lord, make my life narrow. Lord, deal with me any way you want. Choose anything you want for my life. I didn't lose a thing. And one of these days, you know, sweet hour prayer, that called me from a world of care. But the last verse says, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'm going to have one look back at earth, and it won't be to say goodbye to earth. I'm going to say, hey, Ishmael, drop in. See you later, dude. Mikey, you're out of it. I long for that day, but until then, I'm determined to get victory over the persecutor. And if you know how he works, you can identify him. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment, and then we'll close. I don't know what your habit is here, but I'm going to take just a minute. I have every intention of one thing today, and that is to encourage you to live for Jesus Christ. Whether you're newly saved, and let me say this, if you're not a born-again believer, this would be the perfect day to do it. In the last 4 weeks, from 49 years old to 8 years old, I've heard of 6 people I know personally who've died in the last 4 weeks. I wonder sometimes what the next phone call or text is going to say. You don't know when you're going. You ought to trust Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you're Ishmael, is beating up on old Isaac,
and your Ishmael's in charge, this would be a good day for you to say, that does it. I'm letting God have charge again, and I'm going to let Isaac reign. Oh, yeah, yeah, you'll end up being like some of us believers and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. And maybe there's someone, young or old, and in your heart, there's just a burning that says, I want to live for Jesus Christ. I don't care if anybody knows. I'm not going to hide it from everybody because God will use it. But I want to live for Jesus Christ. And Lord, help me to understand the difference between my Ishmael nature and who I really am in Christ, Isaac. Help me to understand, Lord, what it is you could do in my daily life, in my thought life, in my spirit, in my heart, in my motives, in my emotions. Lord, we commit this to your hand. Thank you for these folks. I thank you for the great privilege to be here. Lord, I know in my heart I've obeyed you. I know that it's not a matter of skill, Lord. If that was the case, then there'd be no hope. And Lord, it's not even just a matter of effort. Father, this is a matter of trust. And Lord, I trust that thy Holy Spirit at this very moment would do all that you can do, Lord, through your own ways to help each and every person within the sound of my voice to get their need met. Lord, I pray that if someone's lost today, the first thing they do is ask somebody how to be saved. And they get on their face and just ask you to save them. I pray if there's somebody, Lord, who's you've been calling them and they've been putting it off and putting it off, and Ishmael has every excuse under the sun, that they just tell him to shut up and they'd obey Isaac today. And you'd fill their heart and minds with the peace of God. I pray if there'd be anybody away from God. Lord, it's so easy for us to get cold on you. It's so easy for us to start listening to Ishmael and just listen to all those things that we would be if we weren't saved. And I pray for that today. Lord, we'll trust you with it. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Six, please. It's a perfect song for this. 466. Let's all stand. We'll sing a verse or two. We'll be dismissed. 466. Christ liveth in me. Amen. Together now. Once far from God and dead in sin, heart could see, but in God's word the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ second verse, as rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free. Amen. Sing it. Yes, hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. What a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. On the last, with longing all my heart is filled, that like him I may be. Amen. Father, we pray you dismiss us with your blessing. Look after every soul today. Do your work, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name.
for his honor and glory. Amen. See you at 4 o'clock.